Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The Asian Avengers. So weak.
The Asian Avengers. So weak. So fuckable, bro. You know? Whoa. There's five Asian guys together.
And welcome back to another episode of Asian Not Asian Podcast, a podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
And I'm Mike Nguyen.
And today is June 13th, Saturday. Some big things popping this week on my YouTube feed. Dave fucking Chappelle just released like a new half hour thing. Did you see that?
That was cool. It was unexpected, obviously. Very powerful. I know he's a kind of, he's a controversial figure. That's what he does. That's why he is who he is. But I think it was interesting because he is, he says himself, it's very raw.
Yeah.
It's not like a comedy special where you're sitting there laughing, which I think is fine. I don't feel like being funny. I never feel like being funny, but now it's not like joke time. So it was cool, man. I checked it out, and it was interesting. What did you think of it?
I liked it. I mean, I liked that. Well, you know, we've been all dying. We're all comedians. We're all fucking dying to get back on stage. It was just every time I see one of those things, because people have been doing pop-up comedy shows. So I always try to figure out what can I do to do a live show again? And they show a little bit of the process. And for him, he lives in Ohio, which makes everything way easier. Because, you know, you and I joke that to do a live show in New York, you and I would have to buy property. And that's, you're only half joking, because that is probably what we have to do, is buy
property. Really what it is.
But in Ohio, because you could just go to a farm and people don't care what you do. You could just... I've been to so many parties in the middle of cornfields. Nobody gives a fuck. So I think that's kind of what he did. He just I'm sure he paid these people, but it just seems like it was in the middle of nowhere. Social distancing was in place. People were taking temperatures. So that was kind of cool. And you know, to your point, he talked about serious shit, but I love how he can just make everything silly in an instant. You know, he's got that Thanos power. You can just, he's talking about police brutality, but then half a second later, he's talking about Candace Owens' pussy or something like that, you know?
Yeah. That's his jam. So it was, and it's funny. I mean, the other time I was really excited to hear, what he had to say was, remember, his sort of comeback was SNL, the week that Donald Trump won the election.
Right.
And that set that he did on SNL, first of all, it was very funny. It was very, he was a very tight, only 10 minutes long. And it was very we needed to hear from somebody.
Yeah.
You know? And that was a time when people, this is just, back in 2016 where things were simpler and we just had to worry about Donald Trump. But, now all these sorts of horrible things have happened. Yeah. And we're at the stage and he's, for people who haven't seen it, Dave Chappelle himself says that hey, I didn't put anything out I didn't say anything because I didn't need to say anything, right? I was just here to listen and just to ride along, and other people were talking, the streets were talking, which was great. I thought that was perfect. I don't think we need to hear from any celebrities. And I think for him, he just was just kind of getting something out. He wasn't trying to hijack the conversation. He was just kind of talking through it. So as a comedian, it was interesting to hear his process, because he's crafting his thing. He's got his joke book. He's hanging out on stage with his, Rick Owens outfit. And it was cool from that angle as a comedian to kind of, for me to see his process. But it was also, I don't want to say cathartic, but it was another voice you want to hear, everything that's going on. And I think that's the way, comedy is going to have to kind of adapt in that way, and I think, today we wanted to talk about how comedy is kind of evolving. Obviously it's evolved with the coronavirus thing. You and I have talked a lot about this, where we've got all these jokes now about the virus and we have all these things, but we haven't been on stage in 3 months or so. And without going on stage, we don't know if these jokes are real, And they're
not,
like,
they're not real.
They're not real. You know, they're not proven, right? Like, no, you know, you do jokes on the Zoom show, you get some laughs, even if people are laughing and it's like going great. You don't really know until you've tried it out in person.
Yep.
A bunch of times on stage and a bunch of different scenarios.
Yeah.
Because that's really where you can tell.
Yeah.
So, like, we're all kind of like figuring it out, you know, and to your point, we're all like trying to like, I'm not that excited. I mean, I miss stand up a lot, but like, I kind of don't want to do this halfway Zoom parking lot, like, hand job show. You know, like,
you want the real sex.
I want the real thing. Don't give me the dry rub over the pants.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I want the real thing, yeah, you know? That's me, man. I don't know.
Our dicks are out for comedy. That's what it is. But so today with our guest, we kind of wanted to talk about that, you know, because yes, we had to change our comedy to Corona, but now so much shit is happening. We have to change our comedy again to make sure it's appropriate for the new world. So I'm so excited to talk to our guest today. I've been wanting to get him on for a long time. He was visiting New York for a little bit, but it didn't work out. But now everything's on Zoom, so we can get him no matter where he is. He's a comedian based in LA, and he's currently on Joe Coy's new Netflix special called In His Element, so definitely check it out. Just dropped yesterday, which coincided with Filipino Independence Day, which I didn't know that. So we can... that's kind of fun. Did you guys know that? I don't know. I think that's why they did it. That makes sense, right?
Oh, that would... You would be amazing if they didn't know that, and they're like, hey, did you know that? We should be on there more.
I know.
Yeah, give it up right now for Andrew Arolfo.
Yeah. Hey.
What's up, everybody?
What's up?
Wow, I'm so happy to... I've been wanting to be on this forever, but I didn't know if y'all liked me for the longest time.
Oh, God. We've... I feel like... You see, you and I... Yeah, go ahead.
I've been wanting to be on this pod for like ever since I like met you, since I knew you started doing this. And then I remember Mike and I were texting because you were in the Bay doing shows. And then we were just like talking for a little bit and you're like, oh, we got to have you on the pod. And then like you didn't see it, but I teared up. I was like, oh, hell yeah. This is yes. I didn't even I was like, yes.
Of course, dude. I mean, you know, like, I think it would be perfect. You're like, people can see if you should check out the YouTube of this. This is a podcast we put on YouTube now too. And like, you're just like so fun to listen to. Obviously, your podcast, your comedy is very fun. And then you're very fun to look at. You're just a very fun to look at person. You know, because like you and I feel like we're... you know,
we're similar,
we're very similar. We met through David Nguyen, I think, and you know, he's also a Bay Area comic. And you know, you've got the glasses. You're wearing a hoodie, even though it's LA. It's probably 85. and you got the hoodie on. You got the top knot. You got the, you know, that's like your thing. You're like the top knot man bun guy of comedy for a long time. That was your thing. I love it, man. Still I love is. It. I'm so glad you're here. So this is cool.
Thank you.
So what is the you're in LA right now, right?
Yeah.
What's the vibe like over there in terms of like comedy, like our shows popping up again? Because in New York we just had, I think, Big J Okerson and Michael Che put on like a parking lot show, and it was kind of a big deal. I just also read a New York Times article about the first open mic, like an invite only open mic that happened at Stand Up New York. Like, people are fucking writing about open mics now. It's fucking crazy. But what's the vibe over there, man?
Yeah, imagine not getting let into an open mic.
yeah.
That was us.
Excuse me, are you on the list? Excuse me, you know?
LA is pretty much shut down. I just moved here, so I haven't really been doing... I felt like I was getting like a little bit of a momentum and like learning about the city, and then the virus hit, so that all went away. And I've just been... No shows. I don't know of any shows that are happening. I know there was like a lot of underground shows like during this.
Ooh.
And like, ooh. People,
interesting.
People were upset about it. People were real upset.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I don't really know much about it other than like someone opened up like a room, like, like peak pandemic, like peak. And they were getting... They're getting a lot of shit for it because they were like doing the... Do y'all do online signups in New York?
Yes. Well, sometimes it depends, but
like,
yeah,
like that slotted thing. Have you? Mm-hmm.
Other, yeah. I've heard about that.
Yeah, they do it, a lot of that is down here, and people were just like so funny. I got sent the link, and people were signing up as like just instead of names, they just like trash the person who's running it. They'd be like. Like, number one spot goes to, this guy's a fucking idiot. Number two spot, this guy should be fucking canceled.
Wait, this was an open mic? It wasn't even a show?
No, it was an open mic, yeah. It was an
open
mic.
Oh, God. God, imagine dying over open mic. Jesus, right. Can you imagine? Jesus.
Yeah, because, like, everybody always talks about super spreader events. That's really how like a lot of these things kicked off. Like in New York, one of the big ones was like a bunch of rich people, before they all scattered to their various private islands, mm-hmm. they all had a big party. Mm. And like, I think one person or two people had the virus and they spread it to 40 people. And those people then went to all these different places all over New York City, the United States and the world and spread it there.
Yeah,
but at least they're rich, you know what I'm saying? At least they're like, hey, yeah. this was a sweet party, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't just like, oh, well, you know, I mean, we was working on this joke I have about Tinder, and it didn't work, but hey, you know, I spread coronavirus to all of Southern California, so that was worth it.
Yeah,
God.
And they're probably like, hey, and asymptomatic, we're chilling, you know?
Oh man, yeah, Andrew was like so glad you're here. You know, like I feel I want to definitely talk about this, you know, Joe Coy sort of special, and it's a different special. But I wanted to talk about that in a minute too, about just like, you know, I just want to know quickly just about you, like let's just run through it very quickly. Like, when did you start doing comedy? You know, how did you mm-hmm. get into this gig? And you're from the Bay, right?
Yep. I was born and raised in the Bay Area, born in Oakland, and I spent a lot of time in, like, Concord, California. No one knows where that is, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I feel like my story wasn't even that interesting. I used to work at this, like, skate shop, and then... The manager of the skate shop, he was a comedian. Like, he was, like, like an open micer, I guess. And like, he had just moved here from San Diego, and he was like, I'm going to go do this open mic. You want to do it with me? And I was like, I mean, sure. And then the whole team at the skate shop was like, I'll do it. So a group of like six of us went, we all met up before, we like wrote with each other. And then like, we went to this just open mic in the East Bay called Tommy T's, and we all we all did it, and I kept going and everybody else quit. I just like went that one time, and then I was like, this is fun. And then I went the second, and I didn't know if I did bad or not. I'm pretty sure I did bad, whatever, but I went the next week and I bombed so hard that I didn't come back for like 6 months, and then I started up again.
You know, we wanted to have you on, like, we're obviously like still like talking about everything that's going on, and it's weird to say like everything going on, because this is like not the same as it was before. If and let me explain, like, you know, Black Lives Matter has been around for a while. You know, obviously all the stuff about with race and everything has been going on since the beginning of the fucking country. You know, this everything that sort of kicked off in the last couple of weeks, I feel it feels different.
Feels
I don't know
different.
If that feels for you. Fumi, do you feel, is it to feel different for you?
Yeah. I mean, I was legit thinking about this, and like, obviously, like you said, like Trayvon Martin, that should have happened in 2016. People are equally mm-hmm. as upset. I don't know if it's because of Corona and like we've just had time, like a lot more time to ourselves than before.
I think, yeah, you know, I think that's definitely
like,
part of it.
Like
yeah.
time to like read and be mm-hmm. really impacted by some of the social media stuff that's happening, and like watching these videos, because I mean, this is the sad truth. Like if life had just gone on without coronavirus and this happened, like, I don't know. I mean, how many people have been like, I'm too busy to watch this video, you know?
Yeah.
That's true. No, I feel you. This is, for me, this has been, I've had out of, because this has happened like a lot, you know? We've had protests forever since I've been, you know, since I've been alive. And this is this time I felt the most guilty out of every single one that's happened. And I think it's just because the lack of information I've had, like, throughout my life. Like, there's stuff I'm just learning about now that I've been should have learned about, you know? And it's...
I agree. I feel like... I think there's a couple of things. I think, obviously, there's a coronavirus that makes everybody be at home, and we have... We're online more, and we... Some people, you know, who are able to can go and protest. I think also it's Donald Trump who kind of it just kind of like forced everybody to be like, oh shit, this is some real shit. Like, mm-hmm. we have to all kind of, you know, be more politically aware. I think more people have become political in the last couple of years. And then also Me Too, also, because that was one of those things where it showed people that you can be, you can kind of force some accountability. You know, it took forever for Harvey Weinstein to be indicted and to actually face charges, but like it was like one small thing. And because I feel before, like, people would get canceled or something like that, canceled, and then nothing, and they would either come back or nothing, or they wouldn't even really be canceled. But now, you know, you see we saw recently the guy who runs CrossFit, who like started CrossFit. Did you guys hear about this? Like, the guy who started CrossFit. And I remember when CrossFit started. This was like a long time ago. I was still in college when CrossFit started. And when CrossFit first started, it was an exercise thing, but it leaned really right wing, which was very strange, because you would be sitting there on this website learning about, like, oh yeah, we're all gonna do, okay, so it's 50 crunches and 50 push-ups, and then we're gonna carry our guns into, like, you know, like the gym. And I was like, what is this? Like, it like made no sense. Like, it would just be like, you know, like, yeah, like exercise it, and then we'd talk about like, we have to fight for our rights because of, and I would just be like, this is so confusing. But that's always been kind of like in the background. And not to say, like, that's a weird thing, but now, like, this CrossFit guy, he had to like step down because he said like this incredibly stupid joke on Twitter. And like, it just feels like, you know, all these things are kind of like happening. And I think people are like, we're like, we all kind of like woke up a little bit and kind of figured it out. I don't know, you know?
So with that CrossFit guy and then that yoga dude, the hot yoga guy that.
Yes. Did you watch it? Yeah. Yes.
So what does this teach us? That exercise is dangerous. Don't do it. Don't exercise. Well, something bad's gonna happen.
Yeah, it is interesting how it's like kind of transcended from just this police reform thing to like exposing. I'm not even gonna use the word exposing, because these people are coming out on their own, like, fucking,
they really are,
right? So it's gone from like, hey, let's like try to, you know, end police brutality to like, hey, I've been racist for 25 years and I want everyone to know about it. You know, it's been like a very strange shift on the internet.
You're right, because like none of these things is like something where it's been out there.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think with Me Too, it's like one of those things where everybody, you know how we used to say stuff like, oh, you know, boys will be boys, or like, oh, you know how the casting couch is, right? That's like a joke. It's like the casting couch is a joke, but everybody kind of went along with it until we stopped going along with it. And it's always been there, and we just kind of like covered it up or made jokes about it. Like, I think, Fumi, you were saying once, like, how, you know, like, people think, you know, like Dave Chappelle, he'll make, you know, this is, you know, way back in the 90s, he makes jokes about like, taxis never stop for black people. Right? Ha 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 ha. And everybody laughs, and we're all laughing. Ha 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 ha. Right? That's funny. But then if you think about it, that is the truth, and that is what happened to him. Mm-hmm. But we all just kind of went along with it. Right? Like, we're all like, you know how it is. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you were involved in this, Andrew, but like, you know, a lot of people have been weird about releasing content and stuff like in this time. Like, we also have been kind of weird about doing our Hack City comedy show, which you've done. We have been donating and stuff, trying to do the right thing. Do you know, like, because I want to kind of talk about your show on Joke on Netflix. That is, it's very funny, and obviously it was filmed way before all this stuff. But like, I don't know, like, did you hear anything about from the Netflix team about like, hey, should we like not release this right now? Is this like kind of weird, or did like, I don't know if you know anything about that.
I had no idea what was going on with that. I didn't even know it was going to be released until like a few weeks prior. and I didn't see anything from it. And I honestly, I don't know if you saw, but I wasn't in a lot of the, I didn't even, like, I wasn't in a lot of the, like, pictures and stuff. So I was like, I don't know what's going on. I have no idea. I know it was on purpose to have it on the Philippine Independence Day. I know that was a thing. what were you asking, though?
Like, did, no, I just, do you want to ask, though?
Because I bring this up because a lot of corporations are, like, trying to, like, do the right thing right now. I know Comedy Central is like, we're not releasing anything in these times in solidarity, blah, blah, blah. Now, I'm not saying that that's like the right thing. That's just how they chose to do it. I didn't know if Netflix had a plan or something like that. I realize it's like, I realize you're not the guy being like, I want to release it right now, this week. This is the time. You know? Yeah.
Well, I think like it has to be one of those things because like, you know, some people are not releasing. It doesn't make sense to let's write a sketch right now. I feel that's one thing. And then it's a different thing if you've sort of like recorded a bunch of stuff and you have to like kind of release things, a movie or whatever. And I wonder too, because I think the question for me is like, how are people going to go forward? Because, you know, there's stuff is going to keep coming out. It has to keep coming out. Mm-hmm. And is it now is like, well, do we all have to have different jokes, you know? Like, I mean, before this, back when we were just dealing with coronavirus, I don't know what even that means, but like when we were doing that, like we were all wondering if all of our jokes have to be coronavirus jokes now, right? Or maybe after coronavirus, none of our jokes can be about coronavirus, you know? Like, let's say if everything opened up, will people want to hear about stuff like that? So it's like now more than ever, it's like, you know, you have to rethink about how your jokes are going to work in this context. You know, have you been having, and obviously we're kind of stuck in the Zoom era right now. Like, have you, what do you think about like, how are we going to write jokes in, you know, in the next couple of months or weeks or years?
Yeah.
You know, like it, where do you think it's going to go?
Well, for me personally, I don't really write too much of like, leaning anyway, you know what I'm saying? Like it's most like, I try not to be that divisive in my stand up. That's just not because like I don't want to pick a side. It's just because like I am the one of the dumbest people in the world. Like I don't know facts. I don't.
Yep. Same.
All my opinions are probably wrong. You know what I mean? They're not, or just like, they don't make sense at least. Which I'm trying to be better about. I'm trying to be more, you know, just trying to learn more. But for me, I think it's just like we're just gonna have to see what happens. We're gonna have to see the trends, and we're just gonna have to adapt. That's our whole job. We literally adapt to our surroundings. So I think that's just what
we had you on our show the other day, and your opener was like a toilet paper prop joke, you know? You're adapting, baby.
Yeah. I know I'm not going to be able to do that later, but it's like, yeah, this works for this, so I'm just going to continue for this. And if I wrote that, I can write something else later. You know, it's going to,
The Zoom shows I've done, it's like there's two pathways. One person who just writes all new Corona shit, right? Yeah. And there's the other person who does not write any new shit and just changes the setup to make sense for Corona. Just a little bit. So instead of saying like I was with my friend at a bar, they'll just be like, I was FaceTiming with my mom or something, you know, just to so that's like, but you know, it seems to be working. I think to Mike's point, not everybody wants to hear about Corona all the time, especially now. I mean, I don't know. It's just been like going on for so fucking long. So like, can you imagine coming out of this and you did a 20-minute set and it's all about Corona? Like, you know, I think some people just miss like a good old, hey, can you just hump the stool for a second? Like for nostalgia. Like I missed that.
Gotta miss that. You know, yeah.
Like the opener I did on your show, I like pulled out like a roll of toilet paper. Like I can't do that live, but I will be a prop comic when we come back. For sure.
It's so funny. When you did that toilet paper prop joke, I was literally texting with Fumi, and I was like we need to become prop comics. And this is the way it's gonna be. Do want to talk to you about the special that you have. So Joe Coy, it's a Netflix special, it's called In His Element. And it's different because it's not just, you know, Joe Coy, very popular, has a bunch of specials, but he put out, it's kind of like, it's like a variety show, really, where he showcases different kinds of like Filipino, Filipino American talent. It's, you know, just like, just to get started, how did you meet Joe Coy? Like, how did you meet him and how did you kind of get involved in this project?
This was kind of wild. So I was doing an all Filipino show in LA when I was still living in the Bay. I drove up for the show, and then right before I got on stage, I just see like everybody's like, oh shit, he's here. And then I look over, and this is like literally right before I'm about to walk on stage, and I see Joe Coy and then Andrew Lopez in the they just came just randomly because they heard there was a Filipino show. So I do a set there. And then I guess I do fairly well to where at the end of the night, Joe comes up to me and was like, hey, dude, you're funny. Can you open up for me? This was on a Friday. And then he was like, hey, can you open up for me on Tuesday in in whatever, Redondo Beach at Comedy Magic. And I was still I was leaving the next day. So
shit.
Yeah, I was leaving the next day. So I was like, yeah, sure. Okay. And then I drove back home, and then I went to work on Monday. I know the show was on a Saturday. I drove back home Sunday, went to work on Monday. Tuesday morning, went to work, got left early, drove to LA, did the show, open for him, did 5 minutes, and then drove after the show, drove back home immediately. Back to the Bay.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And then that, so, and the, for people who don't know, I like that drive is like, so like 6 hours or something.
Yeah.
Like
it's like five and a half, six, depending on traffic.
Oh
and
my
stuff
God.
Like. Yeah. So I drove up.
So you drove.
Show. Yeah. Ten,
yeah.
10 hours, 10 plus hours of driving for just for
to
five minutes. 5 minutes.
What if you bombed?
that is still worth it. You know?
But, yeah.
Yeah. And then just a couple, I didn't, after that, couple months later, he hit me up and he's like, hey, I want you to be a part of this project. I was like, hell yeah, let's go. Let's do this. I was so worried about my set translating because I was doing jokes about like Coachella and EDM and like shit like that. And I was so worried about how that would go over out there. So I was like, I was like, Joe, like one of the days we were shooting, I was like, yo, dude, I need to run this set. Like, can I go to an open mic? Like, he's like, yeah, let's go. He came to,
wow.
I went on Facebook. I hit up anyone like just randomly that I knew. And I found this open mic in the Philippines, underground,
whoa.
Like kind of like,
whoa.
Very like underground of a bar. And it was like, it was like this little ass room with like a tiny bar, just like that could only, that like only one person could fit behind there. Given like just beers and then like a tiny little cool little room. It looked like a room here, you know, and it was just like a crazy little open mic, and people saw Joe come in and saw what was kind of happening, and then just packed, like people were calling people. And this was at like after a whole day of shooting, and it was probably around like 9 or 10 at night. And then when we were driving, the drivers was like, nah, we're not doing this. Like, this is like sketchy. Cause when we pull up, we were like, okay, up top is like a chicken spot and then like a restaurant. And then you want us to go down these stairs into this place. And then I'm like, yeah, in America, we do this shit all the time.
Yeah. You know? Hey, I'm a comedian. Open mics. Open mics are always in a shithole. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So all production is like, I don't know if we should do this. And we get in there. And then like it's packed, people just from people texting, word of mouth, Facebook, social media, whatever, people just get in there. It's probably like the room safely probably seats probably like 50. There was probably like 80 to 90 people in there. Just,
oh my God.
Is Joe Coy a name in the Philippines?
Yeah, dude. They gave him, when we were out there, they gave him like the equivalent of like the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame or whatever.
Oh shit. That's awesome.
That same week. So he shot the special and then he did his show just like a for him, just like him, not the variety thing. And then the next day gave him a star or whatever. Back to like how Joe's like in the community, like about the community, you know. So we are at this open mic, and the people that went before us, like there was like these three comics who were so fucking funny, like hilarious.
Really?
Like, and then like this one dude was he goes up. His name's Red. So funny. He goes up and he's like, okay, well, Joe Coy's here, so I'm gonna do my set in English. And and he does about 1.5 to 2 minutes of a set in English and smashes, and then he goes, well, that's all the English I know. And then he goes into and it was hilarious. And then the next dude goes up, and he's Japanese. He's straight up Japanese. He just moved here from Japan, and he just started to learn Tagalog, and he's doing a set in Tagalog. But he's like he does it like super aggressive, like, but he still has like a Japanese like accent in Tagalog, and it was so fucking weird, so funny. And he had like these weird drawings. He was like an Asian Bo Burnham. It was or Dimitri Martin, like a mix of Dimitri Martin and like Bo Burnham. And he was so funny. And then the host was really funny. And then at the end, Joe was like, hey, do y'all want to open for me at this the big show after the taping?
And my God.
Wow.
So he invited three of the comedians to open for him. And it was
that's awesome.
So nice, you know?
Very quickly too, like I was watching it and I was just it's a variety show, and there's like dancers, there's like singers, there's like b-boying, there's obviously comedy and Joe Coy sort of emceeing it. And I was watching this and I was like, this is the most Filipino thing I've ever seen. And it was just like brought me back to like Filipino culture night that was at my school.
Oh, shit.
You know? I was just like, where is the dance with the sticks? You know, because I was like, any second that's going to happen, because like it was just, it felt very Filipino, like the production of it and everything like that. I don't know. Did you ever do anything like that?
I don't remember there being like a Filipino night, but I remember I did this one. I remember. Did y'all when y'all graduated? Did you have grad night?
I did have grad night.
Like after the ceremony, after you walk, you have like a huge party at a place. So in my area, there was another school, just like not the school that I went to. It was their grad night either the night before or the weekend before that high school. And my cousins and I pull up. And we were just like, because we're still in high school, so we're like, damn, we should get in this party, you know, even though we don't go to the school. And you can only get in there if you're in the school. And then we see a guy who's just like packing up. He's like, we're like, oh, are you leaving? And he's like, yeah. He's like, can we get your like pass? And then he's like, is staff pass? And he was like, yeah, sure. So we take it. And then, we take the pass, just the one pass, and we go up to one of the entrance. We go up to the entrance and be like, hey, we're from... we were just on America's Best Dance Crew. We're performing tonight. And this was I think either the season of or after Jabberwockies had won.
Okay. Yeah.
And we let us. They're like, oh, okay, cool, and they let us in. We just partied with like a different school for a night until like 3 a.m.
Bro, that's I love that. That's Filipino privilege right there. You can just say you're in the Jabberwockies.
Just like, you know, it's just you could at any second, you know, that's like if you were a spy, you just like your go to disguise is b-boy. That's always your move. It's like, don't worry, I'm a dancer. It's okay. Let me in behind enemy lines here. Go ahead.
Also, the funny thing was we were so ready to prove it if they were to be like, hey,
really?
Can you do it? Yeah, because a lot of us danced at the time. Like we did do that kind of, not me really, but all my cousins and stuff were like really into that. So if they were to, we would have been prepared if they if they That's called so us out funny. On it.
You're, yeah, yeah. I feel that you guys actually got a little disappointed that nobody made you do your dance routine. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we've been rehearsing for weeks, bro. You know, like. It's now time for everyone's favorite segment. It is
Das Race News.
So today we've got one I wanted to talk about.
We haven't said that in a while.
We haven't said that in a while.
Yeah, it felt weird.
And people love it.
It felt like when we were just saying it together, we couldn't get it right. It was like having sex, but like we took 2 years off, so we don't know how to have sex anymore.
I've never taken 2 years off, so I don't know. But okay, so it's no, I don't know. Okay, so this one comes from, this is something that's been, you know, we've been talking about how this, you know, this time feels different. Everything feels, you know, kind of changing. Obviously, there's a lot of reasons for that. But one of the examples is with Bon Appetit. So the editor of the magazine had to step down because he had some crazy shit, like, come out, and which is fine. I don't give a shit about that. But recently, Bon Appetit's Sola Al-Walwaili says only white editors are paid for test kitchen videos. So this is kind of a crazy thing, and you know, this goes back also to pay, you know, because people are talking about how much they get paid, and she says that she only gets paid $50,000 a year, and she doesn't get paid for the videos. Only the white editors get paid for the videos, and you know, again, they put out a lot of video content now. That's sort of like the name of the game. Also, we have to kind of acknowledge that, like, she's really like putting her livelihood on the line by doing this. Do you know what I'm saying? Because, like, that's going to be a real weird Monday check-in after all this has happened. You know what I'm saying?
Status call.
Yeah, the status call is going to be like, okay, so
how's
we've got these
doing?
Videos coming out. How's everybody's weekend? Okay, yeah. I think Sola came out and just destroyed the entire platform. How's everybody else doing?
The weird thing about me is, like, how do you, when you give her paycheck or whatever, her salary, how does the company justify that? What did they just say, like, oh, she doesn't do that much stuff? Or I don't know, it just seems so wrong. Like, I don't get it, because in the article it says like she did most of the work, or she did a lot you know. So it's like,
I think that's why it's like important to, like, everybody should, like, we should have a thing where, you know how we always, I don't know if you guys ever do this, where you talk with your boys and you go, hey man, you know, how many chicks have you gotten with, or how many people have you slept with? And it's like, oh, I got 15 or 10 or whatever the fuck it is. We should do that with a conversation with, how much money do you make too, bro? You know, because like, that's really where the conversation should go. Because I think because I feel like it's taboo to talk about money. And I've sort of learned that how your value of something and how much you make don't really correlate, you know.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I bet you, you know, like, Andrew, you know, you're very funny and you're getting all these things, but I bet you there are people who are less. Yeah, you're broke. And there are other people who are not as funny as you, as like,
How are you on Netflix and broke? That's America for you, man. That's
how are you on Netflix and hanging out with us? You know what I'm saying? Like, this makes no sense.
I mean, it does if you've seen my shoes.
Those 11s, I know that.
We had like an incident at work. This is like a long time ago when I worked at a different ad agency, but like a female VP went to the printer and she found a pay stub of somebody else who worked there who had the exact same position as her, but she was working there way longer and it was like double what she was getting paid. And like, we had to have a whole fucking meeting about it, you know? But that's, I think it is, because to Mike's point, it's like, because it's such a taboo thing to talk about it. People have to find out in these like weird, scary ways. But I don't know. I mean, I'm always asking my friends how much they make, bro. I'm nosy as fuck, dude. I'm always asking, dude.
You should be, dude. You should be asking that. You should be asking who you fucking and how much money you make.
Yeah,
the real way to pose that question is, how much don't you make? That's a lot. I feel like that's a lot nicer, you know? It's like, you know how you're not supposed to like ask a woman how old she is?
Yeah.
But what if you flip that and you'd be like, hey, how young are you?
You learned this from your Filipino dad. This is some Filipino dad dumbass pickup line shit.
That's amazing. I love it. Yeah. How much don't you weigh? Huh?
You see what I did there?
Huh? how far away from $1 million are you? You know, like. Thank you very much. That was our show. And I want to again thank Andrew Arolfo. Please check out on Netflix. Joe Coy.
In His Elements is what it's called.
In His Element. That's it's a very funny, and it's a really cool, like, again, kind of like a feel of what you know, sort of Filipino American culture is, and that whole thing. It's very different comedy approach. So that was really fun. You know, check him out. Where can our fans find you, Andrew?
I guess AndrewRolfo.com or just IG, Twitter. Everything is at Andrew_Rolfo. That's all.
Hell yeah, dude. And you can always find us on Instagram at Asian.AsianPod. I am also on there at TheFumiAbe. That's TheFumiAbe.
And you can find me on Instagram at NicePantsBro.
Please come to our live comedy shows that we have every week. Every Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern. It's called Hack City Comedy. Just Google it or just go to Asian.AsianPod for tickets. It is free.
Yes. Please subscribe to our Patreon at Patreon. It's at patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod. You can get bonus content and all sorts of fun stuff like that.
Yep.
I think that's it,
man.
Yeah, once again, thank you very much, Andrew. Go stay out there, stay safe. Ask people how much money they don't make.
Yeah, don't make. Yes.
Don't make. All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye.